I'd ask you to please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now we have before us this evening one of the many parables given to us by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A parable could be described as a story which contains within it a particular message. A parable given by the Lord always contained an essential and profound truth applicable for life. A message which remains today relevant. Now, this particular parable is set among a number given by the Lord Jesus to describe the kingdom of heaven, or referred elsewhere as the kingdom of God. The sower and the seed is the word of the kingdom. The good seed and the bad seed, they relate to true and false followers of the kingdom. The mustard seed growing into a tree speaks to us of the growth of the kingdom. The leaven, the inner effect of the kingdom. Treasure in a field and finding the pearl of great price, the value of the kingdom. Well, the Lord speaks here then of the kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the term the kingdom of heaven refers to the rule and the power of God. Something of its nature and power was evident while Jesus Christ was here upon earth. At that time, people witnessed his power over creation. Demonic possession, sickness, and even death. As Saviour, he also showed power and authority to forgive sins as the Son of God and to grant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And such superabounding power directed people's attention beyond an earthly power to a heavenly power. And Jesus showed then that his kingdom was not limited to this world. It was actually a spiritual, heavenly kingdom. And so a Christian believer is a person whose life is willingly submitted under the rule and reign of God's spiritual kingdom. The word of God speaks of the coming of the kingdom of God. And it was a frequent topic in the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And it expresses to us the truth that God is a great God who is doing whatever he wills to do in Christ Jesus. And he's determined to save people through the life, death, resurrection, and intercession of Christ Jesus. And so in one sense, the kingdom of God is a present reality. It's in the here and now. We're in the gospel age. People are entering into the kingdom. People are receiving the kingdom by faith. People know by God's sovereign grace the wonder of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them as they trust only in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They enter by repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. But in another sense, the future reality of the kingdom of God is still to come. By that I mean its ultimate fulfillment, its ultimate end, its ultimate purpose. And that will only be realized when Christ the Lord returns in great glory and power. For as the lightning cometh out of the west and shines even unto the out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, his second coming, glorious. And at such a time, God tells us through the prophet Isaiah, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Oh, that is the ultimate fulfillment of the kingdom of God, when all his people, all those truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be gathered together as one church and will be dwelling in the new heavens and the new earth. And in that wonderful abode, it will be pure and holy in the very presence of God. And there will not be any possibility of being troubled by sin, by Satan, by temptation, by pain, by suffering. Everything will be perfect, and there will be perfect fulfillment. Now, it's good for us to carefully consider the claims of the kingdom of heaven, such an amazing kingdom, a kingdom which will never end, a kingdom that will be glorious and perfect, ultimately in the new heavens and new earth. And with such a reality in mind, it's not surprising that in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he instructs us, knowing what is best for us, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That is your first priority this evening. Whatever other priorities you may think you have in your life, and they may well be very legitimate and very real, and even pressing down upon you, there's one need which superabounds above all of these. And this is the wisdom of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, then the Lord Jesus, to help us to see something of the value of the kingdom of heaven, speaks to us in picture language about a merchant. And he gives an account of a merchant that is searching for pearls. These pearls were of the highest quality and value. Now, pearls were perceived in the first century in much the same way as we view diamonds today. They were the most valuable gem in the world at that time, like a diamond is valued today. And to get this pearl of New Testament times into perspective for today's value, a 122-carat diamond is worth £4.1 million. So if you owned a pearl in New Testament times, you actually owned a fortune. You were a very wealthy person. And there was a very good reason for this fact, because the fine quality pearls are obtained from the pearl oyster that thrives at an average of 10 meters underwater. And in biblical times, pearl hunting involved immense danger. So a lot of the value of the pearl came in the through the cost of its search. There was immense danger. Many people died pearl hunting. In those days, your equipment consisted of a rope and a rock. And a pearl diver would tie a large rock to his body, would jump over the side of a little boat. He'd allow the weight of the rock to carry him down to the oyster beds. And all the while, he had to hold his breath for as long as possible while collecting the oysters. And he would cut himself free from the rock, and he would surface again. And the reality after such an effort was that on average, only 1 in 1,000 oysters collected in such a manner actually contained a pure pearl. And so there was a great deal of danger. There was a great risk to life. And so pearls, not only were they beautiful to look at, they also had a tremendous value attached to them because of the cost of searching for them. That is, collecting them on the oyster bed. Now this man, this merchant, no doubt, had made a good living out of buying and selling pearls. He wasn't the man that went down to the bed to get them, but he was the man that traded them. He was the man that bought and sold them. And he was an expert in such a market. He understood his product. He was respected as an experienced trader, undoubtedly. But evidently one day, in his search for pearls, he came across this pearl of supreme value. And as an expert, he recognized its worth. He recognized its beauty. He recognized its value. He recognized its potential. And such was his desire to obtain the pearl that Jesus said he sold everything that he had just so that he could own this one pearl of great price. And so all his assets, everything that he had, was all wrapped up in that one pearl. Now, he wasn't a naive merchant. He was an experienced merchant. And when he found this one pearl, he responded with his whole being, an effort to obtain it. And there are two particular points I would like to bring to your attention in applying this account this evening. The first is that the merchant, when he found the pearl, he realized it was of the greatest value. Now, as I said before, in his search as a merchant, he no doubt brought and sold many quality pearls of lesser value and worth. He could do it within his budget, in his business. He had enough capital. He could buy and sell. And he was dealing in pearls of great value and of beauty, but they didn't engage his whole being and his whole assets. He was able to run his business and make a profit buying and selling, looking for these quality pearls. Now, let's apply this spiritually. When God puts within us a concern to know the truth about himself, we are sometimes like the merchant. We search and we trade, but we are doing so with lesser value pearls. So we might, for example, trade in alternative religions who claim to have a way to God. We might consider them and perhaps even follow them. Or we may look at a particular way that we think is a way whereby we can know the truth, the absolute truth about God, the real truth about God, and our objective is sincere. But we eventually find that we need to keep searching, because we think we might have found a really nice pearl, the right answer, then we realize it isn't actually satisfying this inner search. It's not actually satisfying our soul. It's not actually reaching down to the innermost part of our being. It's not doing what it needs to do. And each religion out of Jesus Christ, when tested, each way, each particular pathway you may be going down this evening, which is out of Jesus Christ, when tested, will leave you feeling dissatisfied. And your search must continue. You have not found yet what you're looking for. There is some moral value in other religions, but they do not move your whole being. They do not stop you searching for a better pearl. And we can learn a lesson from this merchant who kept up his search. You see, he was a man who understood the value of pearls, but he kept on searching for an even better one. And it wasn't until he found this pearl of great price that his search stopped completely. He stopped searching after that. He found the pearl of great price. He knew he could never find a better pearl than this. And so this evening I would encourage you, do not settle for anything less than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. And you search in the right place to find it. That is the word of God. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And if you have a desire to know God in your life, then like this merchant looking for pearls, continue your search, looking unto Jesus until you find him for yourself, the pearl of great price. And the merchant was seeking secondly, diligently and sincerely, Maybe other merchants had seen this pearl of great price, and they passed by. They had not recognized its worth. You see, this can be the same for people. They hear about the gospel, but their eyes are not open to see its value and its worth. And these merchants were neither diligent or sincere in their search, as was this other merchant. Maybe they thought the pearl of great price was overvalued. Oh, I'm not giving up everything for that pearl. Others were not prepared to risk all their assets on one pearl. Maybe they preferred to trade in a lesser value market. Oh, I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm making a good living. I'm making a profit. Why upset my life? Why turn my life upside down to get this pearl of great price? No, I'll settle for something of a lesser value. Not so with this merchant. This merchant stopped, and he looked at this pearl with great care, and he examined it. And the more he looked at the pearl, the more he admired the pearl. The pearl captivated him. Its worth overwhelmed him. He had never seen such a beautiful pearl. I want to tell you this evening, dear friend, that the more you look at Jesus, the more you will admire him. You can never look enough at the Lord Jesus by faith. You can never search the scriptures enough to find out more about Jesus. And the more you look at this wonderful pearl of great price, the more you look to the Lord Jesus, the more you will admire him, the more you will wonder at the eternal, infinite value of the pearl of great price. Oh, this pearl was more than all his previous pearls put together. There was not one blemish to be found in this pearl. It stood up to the closest scrutiny. And this brings us in to consider what the pearl of great price reminds us of. Remember, the Lord is teaching these parables about the kingdom of heaven. And he's trying to, well, not trying, he is showing us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And then we must make an application then that fits in with the purpose of the supreme teacher, the Lord Jesus. Now, the merchant had found the real thing. And this reminds us of a person who comes to see the supreme value of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. What is the chief attraction of the kingdom of heaven? Well, like the pearl of the great price, it is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom. And when a person seeks for God, they are doing so because the Holy Spirit is prompting your mind and your will. There's a stirring going on in your very heart, in your being. And the Holy Spirit is leading you to the pearl of great price. He's leading you to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to impress upon your mind the heart and the value of Christ, as the merchant valued the pearl of great price. Why is Christ like the pearl of great price? Why is he of such value to a person searching to know God? Well, these people that are searching, they come to see. There are very important facts about this pearl of great price. They come to see through the word of God, and they hear through the preaching that this pearl of great price is none other than the Son of God. And he's pure and genuine and truly God and truly perfect man. And a sincere and genuine merchant in the gospel, someone who is trading in the gospel, someone who is seeking for Jesus, will see him in the gospel, and they will recognize this pearl of great price. And they will see this is not a manufactured pearl. This is not a cultured pearl. This is not a look-alike pearl, because there were look-alike pearls. You could actually generate and create through a certain procedure a look-alike pearl. You could manufacture something to look like a pearl, but this was not a look-alike pearl this merchant found. It was real. And the pearl of great price will stand any amount of scrutiny and will always eternally be declared genuine and real. So the pearl is an especially appropriate figure for the kingdom of heaven and its King, Christ Jesus. Now, did you not know that the pearl is the only gem that cannot be improved by man? Other jewels have to be cut. They have to be polished by skilled craftsmen before they have value as gemstones. But a pearl, a genuine pearl, when it is found, it can't be improved by cutting and polishing. In fact, if you get a pearl and it's cut from a human hand, that pearl is worthless. It has no more value. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. You can't add to the value of Jesus. You can't improve the Lord Jesus. You can't polish him up. We can in our minds, in terms of magnifying him in our minds, in terms of seeing him more clearly as we contemplate him. But the essence, the very person, the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is. He is perfect and holy and genuine. He is the one and only Savior of the world, the one and only way of being reconciled to God. He cannot be improved. There cannot be a better way to God than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done everything for us in terms of reconciliation. In our place and in our stead, God has placed his only beloved Son. And his only beloved Son, the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus, has obeyed, and he came from the glory above, and he lived a perfect life. Now just think about this for a moment. This perfect pearl of great price lived a holy life. He fulfilled God's holy law. Now every one of us this evening, we've not been perfect today. We can't even live an hour without sinning in some way or another. But the Lord Jesus lived for 33 years without sinning even one iota. He's the pure and perfect pearl. And then in love, in perfect love, in sacrificial love, he went to the cross via Gethsemane. And under the overruling sovereignty of God, he suffered and died the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who trust in him. He bore the punishment. He paid the price in full. And he didn't do this for good people, because there aren't any truly good people in this world. By that I mean sinless people. Christ died for sinners. And we're going to read at communion that Christ died for the ungodly. And that's an amazing statement. Christ died for the ungodly. And having Christ as the pearl of great price means having an eternal inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. He is the only way into the kingdom of God. He's the only door. Satan will try and assure you that there are many doors into glory. But there's only one door. And that is why the genuine seeker, like the wise merchant, who recognizes the value of the pearl, recognizes the value of Christ. This is what I've been searching for. I found this pearl of great price. I will never find a pearl like this one. And so the realization of the great and amazing value of Christ brings forth a response. And what is this response? Well, Jesus says in this parable something amazing. When he had found the one pearl of great price, you see, he didn't seek in beautiful pearls, like people might consider other religions, but then he found the one pearl of great price. It came down to one, the one and only way, the one and only Savior. And he went and sold all that he had and brought it. Now, Because the merchant was searching diligently and sincerely and wisely, he thus recognized the pearl's worth. And so the worth of the pearl determined his response to the pearl. It was the preciousness of the pearl which motivated his response. It was the value of the pearl which motivated his wholehearted decision to sell all that he had to obtain it. But why, like the merchant, would a person, when Christ is revealed to them in his beauty and in all his sufficiency as the pearl of great price, be prepared to sell everything to obtain him? Now, as with all the parables, it's very important we do not stretch the parable to mean something Jesus is not saying. We have to compare the teaching of Jesus Christ as a whole. And we know we cannot purchase Christ, that is, by money or efforts or our own righteousness, which is as filthy rags. We can't buy our way into heaven. Because if that were the case, the price would be so great no one could ever afford it. Even the richest person in this world could never afford to buy Christ, purchase Christ, because he's of infinite value. So how are we to understand what Jesus is teaching us here in this part of the parable? Well, it must be viewed as a transaction. As the merchant sold all that he had to obtain the pearl of great price, so it is that we must present our whole being, all that I am, mind, body, and soul. I come just as I am, without one plea, with just one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I don't come just with my head, my mind. I don't just come with my emotions. I come with all that I am, my whole life. That is what conversion is. Christ becomes our Savior and our Lord. All that we are and all that we have is submitted to his Lordship. And we live in a day and age modern teachers are saying to us, well, you can have Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. You don't have to sell everything up, as it were. You don't have to give everything up to follow Jesus. You don't have to submit all your life to Jesus. It's just about your sin and knowing Jesus as your Savior, but you're still the Lord of your life, really. You don't have to give everything up to the Lord. But that's not what Jesus says. All that we are has to be submitted by faith to his Lordship. The things of this world no longer hold the same attraction or value. We respect the gifts from God from this world, those things he's given us richly to enjoy, but we appreciate them in a different way. We thank God for them. We respect God's providential goodness and provision toward us. And we thank God for them. We say grace at our meals. Or we suddenly realize that, oh, how God is so faithful and kind and gracious to us. But they're no longer our all, our hope, our satisfaction. Nothing compares with the pearl of great price, and everything is secondary to Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, yeah, doubtless I count all things lost, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as rubbish, that I may win Christ. And in reality, an amazing exchange has taken place. We bring our sin to Christ, and he exchanges our sin for his righteousness. You will never transact a better deal than this. I know from my business days of the feeling, the excitement, the adrenaline when you do a good deal. And you know that deal is going to be profitable. And you know that deal is going to secure your company for the next little while and cover all your overheads. And if it's done productively, it will be a profitable job. and you know the deal is good. And you perhaps come back and the director say, oh, that was well done, oh, that's great, good news. You'll never transact a better deal than this, than to take, that to come just as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will take all your sin and he will exchange it for his righteousness. There's never a better deal than this. The word says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Because come just as you are. And so what this parable is teaching us, that the only reasonable response to finding the pearl of great price is wholehearted commitment and surrender to that pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the merchant was totally captivated and given over to obtaining the pearl, so when Christ is revealed to us in something of his infinite value as the pearl of great price, a reasonable response is to surrender all to know him. And this simply means that all of our life is under the jurisdiction, the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Those that value Christ are those that have an eternal perspective of life. They realize their eternal future depends on first entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And they realize that to be in the kingdom of heaven is worth more than all the wealth in this world. Knowing Jesus, following Jesus, is the greatest transaction we'll ever know in our life. Once we understand the value of the kingdom of heaven, we will not rest until we have obtained it. The first step is to appreciate there is such a kingdom. This kingdom is found in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if we wish to receive the kingdom of God, we must come as a little child. And what Jesus is telling us this evening is that if we want to enter this kingdom, we want to receive Jesus Christ in our hearts, then we receive him as a little child. As a little child, that's with complete dependence upon him. And we look to him and we say, Lord Jesus, I look to you alone as the savior of my sin, my peace with God, my hope of heaven. And I look to you as my Lord. And I know if I follow you, that you will ensure what is best in my life. And I follow you. And that is true of the person that has found the pearl of great price, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to our hymn books.